The first reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 9 to 18. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all of God's family throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers and sisters, to do so more and more, and to make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind, who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The gospel for this morning is taken from Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. He also said this: this is what the kingdom of God is like. Excuse me. A man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it because the harvest has come. Again he said, what shall we say the kingdom of God is like, or what parable shall we use to describe it? It's like a mustard seed, which is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when planted, it grows and becomes the largest of all garden plants, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. With many similar parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as much as they could understand. He didn't say anything to them without using a parable. But when he was alone with his own disciples, he explained everything. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? He got up, rebuked the wind and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord.
Speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. The last week we were talking about the sower and what we sow and how we sow and why we sow. Of course, it matters what seed you sow, because if I sow pumpkin seeds but I want carrots, I'm going to have a problem, aren't I? I was once given a lemon tree. I got limes. was not a lemon tree at all. The person had given me the tree. It had no label. She said it was a lemon tree. I believed her until we got limes. As it happened, it didn't last very long because I'm terrible at gardening. But anyway, God's garden I'm good at. Home gardens and things that actually require me to tend plants I'm not good at. These are very, very brown thumbs, these ones. But anyway, we have to think about the seed we're sowing and how we sow our seed. That is a really big part of how we live. But we also need to think about the one who makes the seed grow. Because I don't have any control over what happens to the seed. Once it's in the ground, I don't have any control. I can water it, I can feed it, I can look after it, but I can't make that thing grow. You ever sown something and then sort of waited and waited and waited and wondering if it was ever going to come up? And because we don't have control over the growth, we only have control over what we do to encourage that growth, then we have this place where we have to make sure that before we are wanting to sow or do anything, we have to trust the one who made the seed. Because if we're not trusting him, we'll try and push that growth. We'll dig at it. We'll play with it. We'll muck with it. When my sister was young, she wanted to grow things and she wanted to make sure that those things that grew were what she wanted. And she got my mum to get her seeds and she put them in a pot. But she wouldn't leave them alone. She was always there, poke, 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 putting more water in. Nothing's happened yet, Mum. And of course, they died, didn't they? They got too wet and they didn't work and they sort of showed a little bit and then went, ugh. And she and I are about the same when it comes to looking after plants. But the thing is, if we poke at it and we play with it and we try, sometimes what we end up doing is flooding it out, or not looking after it well enough and it starves, we actually have to think about the fact that we can't make that seed do what we want it to. We can plant it. We can learn how to look after it properly. But we've got to trust the one who makes it grow. Now, in our life at the moment, there's a lot of stuff going on which is a bit out of our control. And I'm sure that as you watch the news and as we see what's going on in the world, there is a temptation to decide that the whole world's going to hell in a handbasket. It's not. It's okay. God is good. But the fact is, we can sit in that space, can't we? I well remember those first few days after suddenly everything got locked down in the pandemic, how much out of control it felt. And yet, God is always, always good and always in control. Things don't happen the way that we want them to. Sometimes, often, but that doesn't mean God isn't going to work all of that around. And there were good things that came out of the pandemic. I'm sure you can think hard and come up with some. Jesus was asleep in the boat. And when Jesus is asleep in the boat, the disciples are not worried about that. He's probably exhausted. He's been preaching and teaching and healing and all the rest of it. And he's laying down on the pillow and gone clunk. And a storm rises up and the waves crashing over don't wake him up. So he must have been really tired. Until the disciples, wake up, we're going to drown. And of course, Jesus wakes up and looks at them and says, where's your faith? See, the thing is, God, if God's in the boat, he's not going to sink it. If the Son of God is asleep in your boat, even if he's asleep, the boat ain't going down. That's not going to happen. Your boat will not sink with Jesus in it. It may feel like he's asleep. It may feel like he's not paying attention right now. It may feel like we somehow are marching through a storm, pushing through difficulty, and he doesn't care. But the boat won't go down. And that is why Jesus told them off. Because in that storm, he knew he could sleep soundly through the storm. He didn't have to worry. He knew his Father was looking after things. Even if he opened an eye and went, that's a little bit scary, he would have closed his eyes and gone back to sleep. I'm tired. Father's in control. Meh. Until the disciples were panicking, because they're fishermen and they know that you can go down in a storm, but they haven't yet understood that they've got God in their boat. We have God in our boat. And won't go down as long as God's in our boat. Trusting the one who makes the seed. Trusting the one who makes it grow. Trusting the one who brings it. Trusting the one who saved us. Trusting the one who will be there. Trusting the one whose will is for his church to grow and grow and grow and be a light to the nations. Trusting him is the first thing. And that faith in him brings us into a place where if we will see that for what it is, we can actually then, in the other story that we know of, where Jesus was wide awake because he was outside walking on the water in the storm, get out of the boat if we need to. And why don't you sink on the water? Because Jesus is on the water. If you're walking on it, to him. It's the principle. It's the same one. It's about faith. Jesus is teaching his disciples. And notice what he does. He tells them parables, and then he explains the parables to them. He makes sure that his disciples become disciples. Now, up the back there are some wonderful colouring sheets which have Jesus in a boat. Stilling the storm with his hand out like this, sort of Darlene Sheck-like. And if you're someone who ever saw Darlene, Darlene's always. So, guys, if you want to colour those in, now we do have some cooking to do. But we're going to do that during the meeting because we're going to use the microwave and the instructions are there. So, if you want to do some colouring in, the colouring in is there, and we can have some the mighty pictures of Jesus stilling a storm. When Paul writes to the Thessalonians, he's only just started his ministry. These letters are the earliest of all of the letters. When he writes to the Thessalonians, he writes to people who are just learning about Jesus, just as he has only really just started to fully develop his ministry. And these people are people who really need to know that what they believe in is right and how to live that out. And so he reminds them how to live. He reminds them that what they are doing is sowing in love. He reminds them that they're caring for one another and their love for one another will be seen by the people around them. He reminds them that as they care for one another and as they live out the gospel, they need to be able to tell people why they live the way they live. And he reminds them they need to be able to do that with love and care for the other. He reminds them that we work together and we do things together and we step out in faith together, and that doing that together builds up the people of God. He says to them, do this more and more. Live together, work together, love one another, care for one another. Mind your own affairs and work with your hands. Make sure that you are actually out there doing what you need to do don't sit back on your laurels and hope somebody else will look after you. That was part of the ethic that they carried, so that you can behave properly toward outsiders and be dependent on no one. The idea being that if the Christian community worked together, they could actually show what happens when people work together rather than just working for themselves and ignoring everybody else. It was building a community that was based around Jesus Christ and the love of Christ for one another. And that community was so different to the community around them. The community around them had a culture which said, me first, me second, me third. And you come in only if you serve me. Sound familiar? Christian church became such a difference because they brought their resources instead of keeping it all for themselves. They brought them, put them together and said, how can we look after one another with this and make sure everybody has what they need? They provided work for one another. The ones who were still able to work or ran something which allowed them to bring Christians to work would provide work for them so that they didn't end up without a job, because so often Christians missed out on their jobs because they weren't allowed to work unless they worshipped the emperor. And because they wouldn't worship the emperor, they wouldn't be allowed to work. And so Christians often found that they went from having a satisfying job where they had a trade, they could do this and that, to not being able to do anything because nobody would allow them to unless they bowed to the foreign gods in the doorway before they walked in, and they wouldn't do it. So the Christian church worked together to build up places where Christians could work. They worked together to make sure that there was charity for the widow and the fatherless. They worked together with their resources, and they loved one another so much that the world looked at them and said, the what now? They worked together, and they became such a beacon for their people around them, because the beacon for the people around them was that love. That was the bottom of that. The beacon for the people around them was the love they had for one another, because it was just not the experience of those people. And then when they did that, they were able to show people the reason why they loved was because God had loved them first through Jesus. And that changed the culture. And it changed the culture so much that today we have volunteers all around and volunteering and being there to help one another and make sure that you have functioning hospitals, and caring for the sick and the needy is actually such a cultural norm. We don't realize it didn't exist back then, but it didn't. It was rare, if at all. So as we seek to be a beacon for the people of Germana, growing in love and working together in love together as a congregation, as a people, is part of how God works to let people know that he's at work here. And then what we do in everything and bringing him into the center is saying, this is going to serve the Lord and one another. And if it doesn't, maybe it's not where our energy goes. And that can be a little hard sometimes. But the fact is, we only have so much energy, don't we? Some of us are not as young as we used to be. Some of us are young and ready for it, but that doesn't mean you've got all the energy in the world, because you've got families and you've got jobs. So we don't put energy where it doesn't belong. We put it where God wants it to go. And we make sure that what we do serves him and serves the purposes of the church. And when we do that, we have Jesus in our boat. And with us, he will help us to build whatever we do not yet have. We already have a lot of good things and a lot of God things. We have a whole lot of things going on in this community. We have Bible studies. We have craft group. We have the op shop, which is a wonderful beacon to the community that we can grow through in a lot of ways. We have other things which invite people in. We're starting to do some family ministry. We've got our family. Our family had our first life group on Wednesday. We all got together and we had pizza and we watched Youth Alpha. And that is about, where do we put our energy? We put our energy into growing together as people of God. We have the men's breakfast. We have the men's group meeting over at Blackthorn. We have prayer groups. We have people praying together and staying together on Zoom. We have regular worship. This is part of it, isn't it? We have a cuppa. We do those things. Fellowship is also part of it, because how can we learn, how can we walk in love with one another when we don't know who we are? We've got to know one another, got to hang out together, got to do those things. That's part of it too. Everything around the center, everything so that we are feeding and growing what we have been sowing in ourselves and in others. If what we're doing only serves us, though, it doesn't quite work, does it? That's why we need to reach our community. Because after all, as Paul points out to the Thessalonians, there will come a time when Jesus comes back. There will come a time for every single person where they will face the Lord, and the difference between now and then is one heartbeat. And in that place, we need to be aware that there are many who today will not know Jesus and face him, because that's life. To see a dying person and not help them wouldn't be a good thing, right? Part of our purpose has to be, part of our heart has to be, to make sure that what we do serves that. That people get to know him. They can have the life that we have, not just when they die, but right now. Living as God's people together is fun. I know I'm having fun. I don't know about you. You having fun? Good. I have more fun when I'm here than I have anywhere else. I love church. When I was a kid, I didn't get up in the mornings. I still don't get up in the mornings. You all know that already. Anybody who's rung me before 9 a.m. knows that. Oh, no, what? If I answered at all, because I had to scramble to try and work out where the phone is. But on Sunday morning, I was always up early, because I wanted to be there. Wanted to be with God's people. That. Because here is where the body of Christ gathers and God does stuff. I love it. I just love it. And I want to see God do more stuff. We want to have more people who can come and be part of God's people. We want to have that chance for people to come and find the life in Christ that we know. This Jesus who, even if their boat seems to be sinking, is there for them, and they don't have to be afraid anymore. And they don't have to feel like they're lost anymore. And they don't have to feel like somehow the world is going to hell in a handbasket anymore. Because Jesus is here with them, and they know. And we know that. And we want them to know that. And that center is part of who we are. We put it in our mission statement, didn't we? Living for Jesus. Loving like Jesus. Leading to Jesus. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So making sure that everything we do serves that purpose is important. We need things which are evangelistic, and we need to be intentional about that. We need things which are things which disciple those who are here and build one another up in that faith. And we need things which help us to grow together and have fun. Because Jesus loved a bit of fun. He loved to be together with people, and I think that more of that would be great. So we had a few things we thought about doing, and I just want to run them by you now, not because of wanting to string out a sermon, but because this means that I don't talk a lot during the meeting. So it's actually part of this, though. This is the vision. Things which are evangelistic. things which allow us to reach out. We want to run carols this year, but we don't want to run lessons and carols with the choir that's coming in. We want to run carols for families, and we want to go out and get them. So I want to do flyers, and I want to have people down the beach to hand those out and say, hey, come over and join us for some carols today. And John and I were talking about doing a little bit of caroling over at the IGA if we can get them to give us a slot so that we can whet the appetite of people and bring them over so they can hear the good news that Jesus loves them, that he's died for them. And to do that together and to have fun with that. So you'll notice that the 17th of December carol, lessons and carols has come out because we've got lessons and carols that are happening with the choir, with the harmony singers down in Sorrento on the 5th of December or the 3rd of December. So that's great. But here we're going to run a family thing and we're actually looking at the 23rd of December. Because there's something else happening on the 17th, hopefully, which will make it harder to do it then. So if you're around on the 23rd of December, you know you're going to be around, come and talk to me because I want to plan this thing together and do something great to reach out. That's just a one thing. But everything we do that can bring in people and that we can reach out to people with having that attitude that we want to reach our community is really important. We have Alpha, we have Youth Alpha, we have Adult Alpha. Adult Alpha starts in February. We have lots of groups which are about belonging together and learning together, which I mentioned before. We have leaders. We have a parish council, which is leadership, but also we have other leadership that we want to build up. We want to make sure that there's training for people in the things they have to do and training for people in the things they want to do. We want to make sure that each one of us can find our place in the family and work together. Our family ministry wants to become a place where we then have a place for youth and we create a youth space as our kids grow up, but also as we have other kids come in. We want to make sure that we can do stuff together. And I'd really love to have parish camp at some stage. Go away together. But we'll see how we go on that one. It's not that easy, I know. I would like to see us meeting in one another's homes, doing stuff like, I don't know, progressive dinners or something, where we're coming together and hanging out with one another. I'd love to have the vicarage open for an afternoon tea at least once every month or second month so we can come together there too. I'd love you to be able to come to the house and know that it's part of the parish and you're welcome. Our praise and worship night went really well the other Tuesday. I'd love to do more of those. We have our healing service, which we want to put energy into because people need healing and Jesus heals. All of these things are about the center. Even our op shop is on that center because the op shop is for serving the community. Yeah, it makes money and we need the money. This is cool, but it's actually not what that's about. What did the community of Jesus do? They looked after the people around them. They looked after them so well that those people understood and recognized that they were loved. And when they did that, they changed the culture. So through the op shop, we can do that. That's one of the outreach arms of this church, and that should be its purpose. Makes money? Excellent. Making money whilst doing God's work? Win-win. But the center needs to be about that. Because then Jesus is in the boat. There are lots of things, and you all know them, and they're great. But growing together means that we need to communicate well and work with one another. And going forward, this is your invitation to give the feedback that we need. When our parish council, our new parish council, comes together after the meeting, if I have a couple of wardens, because we don't have anybody as a warden yet, sit there and pray, guys. I have a vicar's warden. Kevin's going to keep walking with me, which is wonderful. But he's my appointment. You have to elect two wardens. And the people who put their hands up have all said parish council, Nobody has said warden. And I need two people to say they'll be wardens. Now, if you have put your hand up for parish council and you feel the Lord's tugging on you and saying, okay, I think that you should say, I'll do that little extra bit of leadership, then please do see me between now and the meeting and we'll sort that one out. But if you elect six parish councillors, we can take two of those who are already elected and appoint them as wardens if you are happy for us to do that. But we do need wardens because legally I do not have a parish council until I have two wardens. Now, I'm saying that now to give you time to think and pray. But it is actually an issue which our bishop will want to come down and find out why people will not lead in this parish. Now, I don't think that's the case at all. But that will be his question, and that was his question because I've seen this happen before. Because people have things on and they don't want to do all the extra work. And you know what? It's not that much extra work. It's an extra meeting and taking responsibility. But we're together as a team. Nobody is alone in their responsibility. We all carry it together. We all work together. If we work as a team, you're never unsupported. And I will give you my promise, I will back you. If we've made that together and that decision was made together, I will back you because we are a team. So if you've been wondering about leadership and whether or not you really should have put your hand up and you're sitting there thinking, yes, but I don't want to be out on a limb on my own, we work as a team. The team makes the decision. I will always back you because I'm there for the team. This is not my church, it's Jesus' church. I don't want to go into other places. I want to come back to the Word of God, and the Word of God says that our God can be trusted. He can be trusted in ill circumstances, that our God loves us, and he wants us to love one another, that what we sow is the kingdom of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ. He makes it grow. We tend it and work it. And when we tend the soil and we look after it, that seed has the best chance to grow in the environment that we are in. And if we are all God's people working together, Jesus is right in the middle of our boat. Not only will we not sink, we will thrive. I think what we need to do is make sure we're building teams so that we are working together and I'm not doing everything, right? You've all got great skills. There's amazing people with skills in this place. Huge skills. Things, life experience, all those good things. We build team together and work out what we need and we build that team. And I will release you into your skills because I don't want to do them. There's a whole lot of things I ain't good at. And some things I can do passably well, but it's not my calling. Not my calling. Yeah. So that's the whole thing, is building that. And if we work together to build the framework, then it can grow with us. And if there is a place for everybody to be within the people of God, they have a place to grow in themselves. And yes, that works together. And that's what I want to make sure we're doing, that we're not fully relying on me, we're fully relying on Jesus. And we're working together to build something which can grow. Let me pray. Our Lord and God, thank you that you are in the boat. And thank you, Lord, for your word to us, for your word to each person in their own lives, but together, that if God is in the boat can't sink, because you don't sink your own boat. And thank you, Lord, that each one of us has a place in the people of God, and that place is different for each person. Help us to find our place. And help us to encourage one another in the finding. Help us to be a place that is so much in love with one another and with you and caring for one another properly and really honoring one another properly, that the world will see a different culture here and look to you. Come looking for a place where they will be accepted and loved exactly as they are. And then grown into the person that God wants them to be. Lord Jesus, I pray that your will be done here and your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.